Welcome, circus performers, freak shows, and carnies to D&D and Big D, where we put the D in D&D. We're a worldwide group of friends who play and review published adventures and review them in a postmortem. We also invite special guest PCs to join in on the fun. Hey there, this is Dungeon Meister Z, also known as Stunt Monkey Z. For this one-shot, we're playing through Happy Jack's Funhouse, written by Jeff C. Stevens and Remley Farr. It's a scalable level 3 through 10 adventure and is available on DM's Guild. Our special guest PC is one of the community's living legends who's back for another outstanding performance, Jordan Sander. And before we get started, don't forget to click the subscribe button wherever you get your podcast ear candy, follow us on Twitter, leave us a review, and tell your friends about us. And now, get your funnel cake, win your own oversized stuffed toy, and order your own cotton candy as we listen to Happy Jack's Funhouse by Jesse Stevens and Remley Farr. Just wanted to mention real quick to the listeners, we are playing through Happy Jack's Funhouse.
Oh, that sounds terrifying.
It is very terrifying. The
okay.
The front cover is this kind of it-looking Pennywise guy with like these sharp teeth smiling very broadly.
Oh my goodness, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, picked the perfect character for this.
Yeah. Uh-oh. All right, so let's start with that then. Lay it on us.
Okay. So, okay. I forgot to double check about like content, where I can use content from.
You're the special guest. You can use it from wherever you want.
Okay. So some of my favorite content comes from Mage Hand Press. I use a lot of their stuff.
Yes.
And so I use some of their stuff today from their Fae Folio. I am E. I am a pixie druid. She is extremely intelligent and incredibly socially awkward and absolutely has no idea why she goes on adventures. It is not her vibe. She belongs in a classroom library in the corner, not talking to anybody because that's where she thrives. But her parents looked at her and said, "You need some life experience." And so they sent her out, and that's why she's out and about adventuring. So doesn't like scary things, so this is going to be really, really funny. She is super non-confrontational, but she'll she will react to things and like she'll take initiative, but she's going to do it in a really weird way because she doesn't like to communicate with people sometimes. It's interesting. I love her so much. She's so awkward and she's just great. But she carries around her book, which I'm just using club stats for because that's what her weapon is.
Sure.
And yeah, she's just an all around, gotta love her nerd, who really is not an adventurer, but she's gonna do it.
Oh, wow, right on.
That is so awesome. So E, that's EE or IE or one I, two
E? Letter E.
Just the letter. I love it.
That's it.
That is such a pixie thing to do.
It really is.
It is. I love it. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I was on the fence because I really loved Marnie, but I was like, you know what? No, I want to see what else you got to throw at us. I'm glad I did that. Holy cow. Good job.
You started in advance. This is going to be fun.
Oh, my God.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, no worries. Alrighty. And Jake.
All right. So I am Aranis Isol, and I am a high elf rogue.
High elf rogue. Wow.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Oh, yes. So, like, going back with, like, the last time we played, I made another rogue. But I figured since, you know, we were going to be playing with you, I was like, I'm going to make a sassy character.
Yes!
And then I'm like, oh my god, this is going to work. And so this...
I love Jake's Eureka moments. Those are the best ones.
I'm so excited. And so, like, this... Well, I made this guy, like, an hour ago. Because I couldn't think of it. I couldn't think of anything else that I wanted to do, but I was like, no, this is going to be perfect. And so, like, give Thranduil a knife, and that's my character.
Very cool, dude.
I'm so ready for this. This is going to be great.
Alrighty. So a little bit of backstory. Count Strahd von Zarovich of Barovia. Well, I said it right on my first time. Led a life of such infamy and violence that he forever stained the surname von Zarovich. The unlucky others throughout the land who bear the name meet with scorn, prejudice, and in some cases, violence. Such was the case for Jack. Jack suffered many hardships while growing up. As one can imagine, he was often bullied because of his name and quirky nose. He also lived in poverty, his parents finding it difficult to procure meaningful jobs as Barovian immigrants. So the rest goes a little bit more detail about Jack's upbringing. Eventually, Jack dropped von Zarovich from his title of his act, deciding to simply call himself Jack the Magnificent. Due to the people's prejudices, this helped attendance, but not by much. So it looks like he made a pact with somebody, a woman named Reaver, who helped him on his way. What else can I give away that won't give everything away?
The ever-present question.
I know. So that's what you basically know at this point, is that he's basically a showman. You know, he has his own circus, his own entertainment, and he just travels around from town to town.
Not conspicuous at all.
None whatsoever.
No bad vibes. I'm opening the closet door, even though the scary music is playing.
And a bunch of clowns come flying out. Okay, Happy Jack. Here's what happened so far. Happy Jack arrived a few days ago carrying a green and red checkerboard satchel. As Happy Jack rode into the village, he waved, laughed, and tossed small candies to the youngsters who came to see him riding the jingling horse. He promised fun, tasty foods, brilliant lights, music, and of course, a fun house to enter and explore. Let me see here, blah, 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 blah. He placed his satchel along the far side of the town square and spoke the words,
"Let the fun begin!"
The satchel hopped about the ground and unfolded into a 60-foot tall, 120-foot long, and 1-foot wide building painted with pink hippos, a swarm of snakes, a mechanical man carrying a strange tool or weapon, and hundreds of multicolored dots the size of cantaloupes. All around a 15-foot tall, 15-foot wide smiling face, its mouth open and painted black. Then Jack removed a small wooden toy from his pocket, placed it in the ground, and snapped his fingers. The small toy grew into a cart large enough to hold 9 people. The cart sat on 2 metal rails, but the rails didn't lead anywhere. They stopped at the front and rear of the cart. The village had a fantastic time the first day. Everyone enjoyed the rare foods, feather candy, sweet dogs, candied apples, sticky corn, and deep fried pies. The main attraction and the bizarre way of entering it was a hit too. Once inside, the villagers experienced all manner of oddity and supernatural. A hippopotamus, a snake person, a slippy slide, a mirrored room, a mechanical man, a pit filled with colorful balls, and little did the village know that Happy Jack was about to succumb to a horrible plot woven by his mentor, Reaver. Jack has abducted many of the children in the village, keeping them entertained in the lower level of his funhouse. The parents all gather in the tavern discussing their options when the both of you arrive. You what?
Sorry, I'm just like picturing this group of very concerned adults and E walking in and being like, well, this is awkward. Sorry.
That's par for the course. That's totally cool. I see. Jordan, since you're a special guest, roll me a d6.
You got it. Where did they go? There they are. Okay, I found one. That's a 4.
Okay. You are sent to investigate a village after a person stumbles into a tavern or inn, claiming children have been abducted from a neighboring village. The person tells of the strange clown and the odd funhouse. So obviously you are here as a special request by that villager. That villager sees you and waves you over to the rest of the party. Oh, there she is, E, right over here.
And E has like her hair up on top of her head in a messy bun with like glasses, and she does the very stereotypical like push her glasses up, and she goes, "Yes, I'm here." What? Okay, so you lost your kids? Is that? I'm a great babysitter. She like starts off on her resume about like how like good she is about like, you know, like find your kids and, you know, here's my rates. She's like going on and on.
And what's Aranis doing?
I'm taking all of this in and just very quietly and brutally thinking to myself, oh God, more panicky people. The last thing I need to deal with are the masses. I mean, hello. It's all very nice to meet every single one of you, I think.
He just kind of looks at you and looks back at the group and waits.
And waits.
Damn it.
Socially awkward. She doesn't know what to do. How do people communicate? I don't get it.
So you have 8 pairs of parents coming up to you and pleading and just like, listen, and they're all talking together at once, you know, telling you how my kid is missing. They went in, they haven't come out. Now they're obviously sobbing their stories. They're trying to tell you everything all in one go. Both of you roll a D20.
Also, might I note, E is trying to literally take notes on everything that's being said. I rolled an 11. Like, she's furiously scribbling on a notepad everything.
Okay, with an 11, you've heard of a clown called Happy Jack. And Aranis, what'd you get?
17.
You know that he's only seen in white face makeup, and you also know that he and his zoo-like attraction travel from town to town. And let's see, E, because you are taking notes, roll a d20 again.
Okay.
And add your history.
Okie dokie. Okay, give me one sec. That is going to be a 12.
Yeah, you've also heard about the zoo-like attraction travel from town to town. Yeah, so that's what you can all piece together from what everyone's throwing at you. And then finally, somebody stops everyone and says, okay, look, we've been too scared to enter, and we don't want to make Happy Jack mad. We know we can't defeat him or save our children. Please, please go save them. They're all starting to plead with you, and they offer a reward of 400 gold. In addition, they state there may be some treasure in the funhouse. There are a lot of strange things in there.
Well, I'm always down for some, you know, exploring of the scientific nature. So maybe we'll find like a plant. I would really like a new plant for my collection. So, and she's like looking. She's so small, so she's flying, but she doesn't like to fly exactly at eye level because she feels like intimidated being at eye level with people, so she's lower. She's like, so I think that maybe we should go. It was nice to meet everybody. And she starts like listing off the names of everybody that she's met, like making eye contact and like, yeah, you have nice hair. I'm going to go now. And she's just going to awkwardly turn around and like flutter out the door.
Oh man, that's great.
She's a goober.
You know what would be awesome is that if you create like 4 more characters and you come back and act like all of them for one sit down.
I will so do that. Don't even tempt me. A one-woman show? Oh, you gotcha.
That would be fantastic. Holy cow. Okay, so next up, as soon as you walk outside, you can smell the sweets and grilled foods along with the faint notes of a pipe organ dancing along the air. You see food stands. You see one of feather candy, of sweet dogs, of sticky corn, candied apples, another one with deep fried fruit pies. And the vendors for each of those locations are mechanical humanoids, not necessarily Warforged. These are just, you know, metallic robots, you know, that kind of deal. So as you're walking by all the food stands, you hear feather candy this way, sweet dogs, get your sweet dogs, sticky corn, candied apples. Candied apples here.
Deep fried food pies. Get a mother hot.
As you're walking by everything.
There's so much noise.
He's just like...
And near that, you also see an organ grinder. You see this older lady with this pet zombie monkey playing her little organ grinder.
A pet zombie monkey. One. He, as we're walking through, starts starts spouting off the nutritional value of everything that's here and how unhealthy it probably is and how it's probably just slowly killing everybody, but we're all dying anyways. Did you know the average rate for a individual to live their whole life is only about this long? And you know the monkey over there, that's probably a disease carrier. We should probably stay away from the monkey. But if we want to go see it, we should probably stay at least like 4 feet away. Like, and so she's just like deeply analyzing every single opportunity and what we need to do to be safe in every situation.
And I'm deeply analyzing every opportunity to get out of this conversation. So I walk over to the old lady. You there, excuse me.
You see the Vizanti crone right there just cranking away. An odd looking minecart carved and painted to resemble the head of a dragon sits on a metal rail behind the organ grinder.
Oh, hello. Welcome to the Rolly Coasty. Step on in, young children.
I need to know first, what are the safety ramifications for this vehicle? Also, when was your last inspection? Because those are really important, and if you haven't had an inspection anytime soon, then I don't really know that we should ride this ride.
Especially since quite evidently children are missing.
Oh, children. I know nothing of children now. Oh.
He looks at the person and just like,
maybe we shouldn't ride this ride.
If you want to know safety, you can go talk to Happy Jack himself. Oh.
And she just keeps continuously cranking the organ grinder.
Do you need help? And like,
is she blind?
Oh, I'm just nearsighted, that's all.
Wait, were you going to do something if she was blind?
I mean...
What else you got, dude? I'm not going to let this one go that easy, dude. I'm not going to steamroll just yet.
I'm just going to roll an insight check.
Okay. And what are you inciting for?
Well, I'm just going to make sure that this... I'm going to see if this crazy old bat is telling the truth, because I don't know about you, but I have a gut feeling that something's fucky here.
Relatable.
As a high elf saying this, I love it.
And that is a 21.
Oh my goodness.
With a 21, obviously something is fucky, but you can't quite put your finger on it. And you really sense that what she's telling is the truth. That Happy Jack is within the funhouse and probably the best course of action. And your gut feeling is telling you, yeah, just go along with it for now. Because, I mean, that's all there really is to it, obviously.
Yeah, it seems this woman is telling the truth. We should probably go talk to the big guy.
He's gonna follow you if you get into the cart, but he is also going to start questioning. Do you mean like she's telling the truth about the inspection? Or do you mean she's telling the truth about not knowing children?
Well, maybe she's telling the truth about her being nearsighted. That would be a good truth to tell.
Yes.
Okay. And he, for the first time in like literally half an hour, shuts up. But only momentarily, just you wait.
So do you have any more questions about this fun house?
Well, and he like starts to say a sentence. I'm also gonna read the room, which I assume is probably sassy. And be like, I don't know, do you have any questions?
Talking to me, or are you talking to Arrhenius? Arrhenius, you have the floor.
This is the most social interaction I've done in a week, so just give me a minute.
That is a mood.
Oh, that's greatness.
So where'd you get the monkey?
Okay, roll initiative.
Of course.
Wait, hey. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. He is not eager.
That is a 24.
Mine was a 4.
You got a 24 also? Okay, you go first.
Yep.
What? Okay, yeah, that's exactly what I rolled. Who am I attacking?
You see the organ grinder open up and you see like these black tentacles come out flinging around.
Because I asked about a monkey. And he literally says that and then just begins screaming. Black tentacles are not supposed to come out of this. I don't know what's going on. Am I fighting the tentacles or the lady? I'm gonna go with the tentacles.
Alrighty.
I would like to, with no shame in my soul, turn invisible because I can as a pixie. Mm-hmm. And I also think I want to hit it with a club.
Okay.
Or my book. I'm literally just gonna whack it. I'm not good at that though. Yeah, okay, so it's 18.
18.
Does that hit it?
That hits.
Yes. Okay, now I gotta do damage. I gotta find a four. Okay. That's gonna be a three.
Okay, you hit the tentacle and it just reels back a little bit.
Okay.
And let's see, Aranis, your turn.
Let's see, while she's going after the tentacles, I'm gonna go after the old lady.
Okay.
Oh my gosh! He screams.
So I'm going to draw both my short sword and my dagger,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to roll to double stab.
All right, roll it.
Stab a stab.
And let me see, because of my assassin abilities, I have advantage on opponents that haven't done anything yet.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not going to tell you that one. But I will tell you this one. It's a 22.
Oh my gosh. You're so good.
It's all on the wrist.
It's all on the wrist.
I guess roll the damage, right?
Yep. And that's going to be a 4 plus... Where'd that D4 go? There it is. It's invisible.
Like me.
So that's going to be 16 total.
16 total. Okay, so she gets hit. Now, as you're hitting her, she just starts maniacally laughing as she's cranking away at the organ grinder. And both of you see it. She ages like 20 years right in front of you. And both of you give me dexterity save throws.
Oh, no. Well, let me tell you what. I'm great at dexterity. Maybe. It's a 15, so it's not the best I've ever been, but...
Well, it's a good thing for the both of us. I have enough for the both of us, because I just got a 22.
What is up with these rolls?
It's the dice. It's okie dokie dice. They make great dice.
That's amazing.
They make great dice.
Oh, man.
Okay.
And the dice apparently agree with me in the levels of sass that I'm planning on doing today.
So with that, both of you fail, and a couple of tentacles wrapped around you. They slap you into the cart. They buckle you in, and the zombie monkey starts taunting you, Aranis. And that presents a... an opportunity attack.
Which I will 100% take, because I'm not going to take this. I'm going to stab him.
Okay.
Oh, yes. I'm stabbing him. In his face.
So aggressive. Mind you, in the background of this, E is just literally screaming her face off. There's no... You can't see anybody, but you just hear her everywhere.
All right, let's hear that audio.
Oh... Oh man, that's a loud audio.
You have a soundtrack, you're good.
Do I need to like go to the back of this room and like scream? Literally, the whole time.
The monkey's screaming, the pixie's screaming, the old lady's screaming. I'm the only one that's composed.
Welcome.
While in the midst of all the chaos, I end up stabbing the monkey for 22.
22 hits the zombie monkey.
And I'm going to stab him in the face for Oh, that's beautiful. 10 points of damage.
So with that, you hit him so hard, the blade goes right through him. So he's impaled clean through with the short sword. And all of a sudden, you hear the old lady, "Not my monkey," as the cart then bolts through.
Oh, no.
And so
no. Oh, no.
So I have a pet dead monkey now, is what you're telling me.
No, what you have is a dead monkey on you, zombie monkey. So the roller coaster is the entrance to the funhouse. The cart begins to move and the rail systems magically manifest, extending several hundred feet throughout the town. Loops, barrel rolls, hammerhead turns, corkscrew drops, high-speed curbs, and other elements may be experienced on the roller coaster, which for both of you are. At this point, E is screaming her head off. Aranis is just there with this, "When is this crap over with?" kind of look on his face.
Also, E is screaming, "That's not sanitary. That's not sanitary. Somebody get me hand sanitizer."
And you come out of this new rail system that leads directly into the open mouth of the face of Happy Jack. When the cart reaches the mouth, a bright light flashes and the cart and rail system continue into the funhouse, which is a pocket dimension. The cart then pulls into a wooden dock where all of you exit the cart, or can exit the cart, to continue into the waiting room. A door next to the dock reads exit, and what do y'all want to do?
Well, while she's screaming about hand sanitizer, I'm looking to practice social distancing, so I'm getting out of the cart.
He will stop screaming when the cart stops. And then she will just look at you and she will go, "You know, like when you have nightmares and they're really bad? Yeah, this is worse." She gets out and is now like pouting because she's so mad. She had to ride this ride and nobody let her check the inspection date before she got on the ride, and that is not okay.
And let's see, also, as you're saying that, you see a hand sanitizing station appear by the exit door.
"Oh, finally, some good in this dark hole." And she, like, flutters over and gets some hand sanitizer and, like, is using it. And it's almost like she's bandaging her soul as she, like, rubs this hand sanitizer into her hands, and you just see like this sense of relief flood her. Like, it's visible. And now, she's gonna turn. Go ahead, sorry.
I'll say, and Aranis, you're seeing her do all this as she's describing everything, but what's actually happening is that the hand sanitizer station is empty.
Oh, no. Do I realize this?
You're kind of lost in your own mind right now, but I would assume you would. I'll leave that up to you.
I feel like she, like, doesn't at first, and then she goes back for more because it's just so good. And when she does, nothing comes out, and she literally just turns around, throws her arms in the air, and goes, "What kind of hell is this?" Immediately drops to the ground and begins walking because she's just done with the day. "All right, where are the children? This is not safe. Do they even have freaking licensing to take care of children?" Oh,
And without saying a word, I snap turn, fling the monkey off my short sword, put it in its sheath, and I start walking on.
As you do that, the monkey pops back alive and starts running for you and starts, like, clamping at your shin, like...
Oh, fuck me.
Like it wants to be your friend, or like it wants to eat your ankles? Those are two different things.
What difference does it make? It still sucks.
Yeah, at this point, you really can't tell just because it's, you know, got this giant hole in its head.
And it's oh, my gosh.
Its mouth now opens up in fours.
But, I mean, obviously, it's not attacking you at this point, so probably the former, not the latter.
Oh, E's following you, by the way.
Okay, so you now have a pet zombie monkey following you around. Both of you do a constitution saving throw.
Oh, boy.
What happened? Did you run out of good juice?
Probably, most likely in this condition. Constitution's my throwaway. It's a 9.
Oh, no. I rolled a 17.
Oh, wow. Okay. So with a 9, as you're walking out, Rannis, you lose your lunch.
Oh, gosh. Egos.
You're fighting battle. You're battling nausea and dizziness.
Oh, no.
Whereas E, you've kind of been a bit more of a, like, you've been prepared for this a little bit more just because you do fly around and you're used to that. So the flinging of the ride didn't hit you as hard. So for the next 5 minutes, Aranis is now quote unquote poisoned.
Oh my. You know, I don't, she's just like awkwardly flying, like patting your back. You know, like, this happens because when you're on something, you know, like motion sickness, and she starts explaining the science very calmly and delicately as if she's trying to comfort you with science as you're sick. And she's just petting you, like giving you scientific information about why you're sick right now.
Just shut up and hold my hair back.
He immediately stops talking and looks at, I imagine, the vast amount of hair that you have and herself at the size that she is. And she, like, rolls up her sleeves, like, looks like she's about to, like, go in and, like, tries to. And I just imagine, like, you don't even see her anymore because she's just covered in, like, this hair, like, trying to hold it.
And it's just white silk. You can thank me later.
What shampoo do you use? It smells great.
So for this funhouse, looks like there are 7 main areas and then like the final battle. So I think what we're going to do is what we did last time. We're going to roll, both of you are going to roll D8s.
Okay.
Let's see. E, what'd you get?
A 3.
3. And Aranis, what'd you get?
So did I.
We're Twinkies!
In every way, my goodness, the both of you. And, okay, Aranis, roll again.
5.
All right, so those are the areas you're going to be exploring. We're just going to bypass the rest of the funhouse. Okay, so here's what's going to happen. I think this is how we're going to do this real quick. First off, let's see, Kitty, can you describe your character?
It's a... Oh my goodness.
Is that them?
Yes! Oh, God.
Do you want to sit this one out, or do you just want to hang out and listen?
Well, we are in a madhouse, so this is good ambience.
You know what? Yes, keep going. Yes. All right, yeah, tell us about your character. Your character has this little twitch with knocking noises that she hears constantly in her head.
It's the ghosts of all my past kills.
Oh my gosh, this group.
I'm bringing back Sedilga the Vein Crusher, an ex-soldier half-orc, and she's just basically doing mercenary work right now. She's just hired help.
Oh no!
God, this is really torturing me right now.
This is torturing me right now.
So, yeah.
Oh my God.
All right, yeah, we'll keep it going. So here's what we're going to say. What was her name again?
Just call me Seedy.
So here's what's going to happen. Seedy, one of your fears is, again, hearing that constant knocking. We're going to make it work.
Do you want me to mute it all, or?
No, let's just keep it going. Let's run with it.
I'm good. Yeah.
Okay. Let's run with it.
I'm feeling no rhythm.
Erratic and unstable. I'm sure this is the perfect song for you, E. That was me. I'm sorry.
I don't even know what the hell they're knocking on, except maybe fixing the carpet.
Possibly.
Oh, maybe. That would make sense. Or maybe they're just really done with quarantine and they're just up there like hitting the wall. You never know.
I think they're trying to make me break. They're trying to break me. I swear to God.
That's funny.
Stay strong. You got this.
You will never get my soul. There we go.
It worked. Yay. Okay, so let's see. Yeah, the car pulls up to a wooden dock, allowing everyone to exit the vehicle on a platform. Red velvet ropes lead the way to a waiting room. See a large white crate painted with colorful polka dots rest in the center of this room. Cubbies, dusty and abused by years of guests, sit empty along the west wall. Two small doors and a large door are found along the north wall. A painting of a clown hangs above the larger door. A paper banner dangles from its teeth and reads, "Welcome to the Funhouse." Along the east wall, two wooden tables covered in loose papers are divided by another door, with a sign above it reading, "Only Happy Jack's personnel beyond this point." So in this one open room, you're walking in, you see this ginormous wooden crate in the center. You see double doors ahead of you. You see a single door to the right. And so at that point, E, you look over and you see CD there, just randomly waiting in the waiting room. So CD's been stuck down here. We'll say that. CD's been stuck here in the fun house trying to find her way out. And
just screaming at random knocking. Yes.
Oh no.
What? She's a 60-something-year-old half-orc, and she's kind of just world-weary. She's kind of had enough.
Yeah, so that's what you see there. What do y'all want to do?
Smash it open with a hammer!
Oh my goodness, that's not safe! With really wide eyes, like, just looks at you.
CD's, like, stuck in mid-swing, just looking at her. Oh, what's your plan?
You know, I understand it could be stressful down here. The psychological brain of, anybody can be heavily tainted. This is Jordan trying to sound smart. He actually sounds smart, so you're just stuck with, like, the BS part of it from me. But the brain is very... She, like, starts going on about how the brain handles being trapped in somewhere you can't get out of, and how, like, she understands why you would want to smash something, and then proceeds to explain how projectiles work if, like, you were to hit the box and the box were to break, what are the odds that it would actually injure you? Like, just going on and on and on in normal E fashion, and she will not stop until someone stops her. She'll just keep going.
All right, so then at that point, I think CD has had it enough with the knocking going around that she can't seem to get away from. Just like that, and then she sees the crate.
Oh no. This is about to hit it.
And wait a minute, CD, you still have your chainsaw from before, right?
Yes, say yes.
I do.
Okay, yeah, she said.
yep, I got it.
Okay. Oh my gosh. There's a chainsaw.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was a pretty.
Oh yeah, you gotta go back for that episode.
Oh yeah. Thank God.
No, I think that we talked about it last time I was on.
Yeah. It was Brent and Rory from Two Dungeon Masters. They were on our show, and it turned out all of them except for Jake were all fighters. Yeah, so anyway, the three fighters ended up getting chainsaws each, so good times.
That is so funny. Okay. I didn't make the connection that was this character.
Yeah, that's all like, CD, why does she sound familiar? Oh, yeah, chainsaw. Okay, so you whip out the chainsaw, you come up to the crate, and you're about to, tear it a new one. And as soon as you touch it, out bursts open, revealing Bubby, a were-hippo. He's holding a Welcome to Happy Jack sign in his mouth, performing simple tricks, and has a name tag that just reads Bubby.
I still want to kill you. You look annoying.
Wait, are you looking at E? Or are you looking at the were-hippo?
She looks back and forth and she's like, I just want to kill something right now. Something must die.
E would like to hide.
Oh, the knocking stopped.
E would like to hide quickly.
Okay.
Well, I seem to recall something about this, the hippo actually being a part of Happy Jack's original crew. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to attempt to reason with this big, bulbous, pink, nice, friendly thing.
I love that you're laying down as much of a nice description as possible. Okay, so you're trying to reason with this guy?
Mm-hmm.
What exactly are you trying to say?
Well, initially I'm going to ask about have you seen any missing children lately? Because we could really use some help with that, and any help that you can provide would be most ideal under these circumstances.
So Bubby looks at you and tilts his head.
I don't know if I've seen any missing children, but I've sure seen some children walk by here. Oh, you, oh, you.
I definitely want to kill you.
Maintain.
CD's still holding up her weapon, waiting to strike.
Maintain.
Are we rolling for initiative? What are we doing?
Where are the children? Where did you see them?
They were in here just like everybody else. They walked through that door over there, and they kept going.
Oh, God. Thank you.
You're welcome. You take care now, stranger, and wind your staff.
Now? Now? Can I?
Mind my step. Why?
It's a fun house, silly goose. That's why.
Oh, God. Okay.
He pops out and looks at everything going on and immediately goes, if it's me or them, I would prefer them. She looks at the chainsaw.
Now, you can't kill something just because it's retarded.
I can't now. How did
you just hear E scream.
Oh my yes. God. Come on, dead monkey. Let's get the fuck out of here.
He's following, but not too close. She's got to keep the radius away from the dead monkey, but that might have diseases. Social distancing. 6 feet.
You know what? I think now this monkey and I are going to get along quite nicely because he promotes social distancing.
He is going to find a way to not have to worry about that.
I go to high five my dead monkey.
It high fives you.
Oh my gosh. He goes, use some hand sanitizer. Like, almost like whisper yells it in your direction. Because she knows it's probably going to piss you off. But she just has to.
Oh no, there is no pissing me off. I just exist here. This is my state.
So much ass has been served.
It
today.
Certainly has. My gosh.
I love this character.
It's a great character.
All right, so then over by that east wall, you see wooden tables that line those walls. Posters and pamphlets advertising the funhouse attractions litter the area. They're listed as follows. Akshi, Survivor, and Tracker Supreme. Biggs, No Fish Can Outswim His Cast. Kova, Magician Extraordinaire. Lucy, The World's Best Baker. Mervinia, Classiest and Sassiest. Thalen, An Explosion of Fun. Wendrig, No Truant Kids on His Watch. And Charlixi, She'll Take Your Voice Away. That is about it. Welcome to the funhouse. Okay, so let's fast forward to number 3. Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Wood walls lined with reflective mirrors. Every wall in this room has a mirror 10 feet tall.
Oh, no.
It's dark.
There's so many mirrors, I can check myself out.
Oh, my gosh.
Very modest.
Are they, like, silly mirrors or regular mirrors?
According to this, they look to be regular mirrors.
Okay.
Oh, there is some good in the world after all.
No funny business.
Oh, correction.
You bastard.
We're all gonna die.
Oh my gracious me.
All right, Jake, roll me a d4.
All right. I got a 4.
Every mirror that you're looking at, you look incredibly skinny. And roll me a wisdom saving throw.
Everybody or just?
Just Jake.
Just me.
Okay. Yep.
Because he's the one with the mouth.
That's a 15.
You are able to save from a spell casted on you. You see the spell shoot out from the mirror, and that's it. Next up is E. Can you roll a d4?
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be a 2.
Now, here's an important question. Are you flying or are you walking?
I'm currently flying.
Okay, and nothing happens to you. Lastly, CD.
Yes?
1d4, please.
3.
With a 3, can you roll a wisdom saving throw?
Uh-huh. 15.
Damn, you saved 2. Okay. Everyone just sees the same thing. You look in the mirror and you see that you're skinnier and kind of like stretched out. And CD, you too, you also see that same spell kind of shoot out, but it misses you completely.
Is there a map?
Oh, there is. There's always a map. I'm not going to share all that with you.
Mm-hmm.
E, roll me a D8 real quick.
You got it. That is a 1.
Okay, out pops Akshi. She's female, she's strong, she wears leather armor, wields a flail with a bear trap hanging from the end of it. Assuming that you all are her next prey, she wants to claim all of you to test her mettle.
No, thank you. Wait. Fight? I'll fight.
All right, everybody roll a d20 real quick.
17 for CD.
16.
4.
So cute.
And actually rolled a 9. So I think what's going to happen is, Aranis, roll me a d4.
Rolling a d4. And that's a 2.
A 2. Okay, so then combat lasts for 2 rounds. Looks like Akshi has the upper hand on E. And just before she can do anything else, CD comes up behind her and uses a chainsaw in a most colorful and heartfelt way.
Oh.
It's raining clowns. Hallelujah. It's raining clouds.
E is just screaming, "This is so unsanitary!"
I needed that.
Hey everyone, this is DM Paul, also known as StuntMonkeyZ on Twitter, with your beer break. Now, normally I would start mentioning our sponsors and partners, but for this beer break, I wanted to take this into a different direction. We've been recording a Texas-sized stockpile of adventures since August, so I wanted to send a special shout-out to all of our special guest PCs who played with us over the past few months, but more importantly, to our very own Jake Pierce, who started DMing on an alternate day. This doesn't mean that I'm hanging up my hat, no way, but it does mean that we're now able to record a ton more content. And with this in mind, we're going to do our next giveaway courtesy of RPG Dungeons. To enter, you have to send a tweet to Jake on Twitter with the hashtag DankDMJake. We'll be letting this run through the next couple of weeks and we'll announce the winner on Twitter. For this episode's commercial, we had a submission from a new podcast called Tabletop Titties. Check it out.
Tabletop Titties is a new Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition actual play podcast run entirely by people of marginalized genders. Join me, Dungeon Master Charlene Bear, and my 4 Chaos Demons as they attempt to survive the Wildwell Trials in Tabletop Titties' first homebrew campaign, a fight to the death, a test of skills and ability, a conspiracy theory for rebellion in the making, but also...
Feel the pain of my fist if you touch my cat.
Darling, it just fits your style.
Are you a paladin? Because I'm smitten.
Don't follow me! I don't know what I'm doing!
Tabletop Titties, available live on Twitch and wherever you get your podcasts. For more information, follow us on social media at Tabletop Titties or visit our website, www.tabletoptitties.com. That's Tabletop Titties, with 2 Ds if you know what I mean.
I think that's it for me. Next episode, we'll be releasing our annual Christmas special with special guest PC Kelsey Dion, the head honcho of Arcane Library. Well, that's all I got for the beer break. Thank you so much, Jordan Sander, for hanging out with us, and this episode was intended to be scary. Somehow, you managed to make it even better. So everyone's walking into the next area, and this time you're passing through 4 to get to number 5, which is what Aranis rolled. CD, roll a perception check.
We got a 14.
All right, with a 14, you see a chainsaw construct charging at all of you, and you're able to notify everybody. Now, E, roll me a dexterity saving throw.
OK.
Okay, so it's a 14.
Dies 14? 14.
Yeah, 14.
Oh, wow.
Uh-oh.
Meets it, beats it. So this chainsaw aims right for you, but because you're a very nimble pixie, you're able to manipulate it, and you are now able to control this working chainsaw construct to do your bidding.
What? I have a chainsaw as a pet? That's what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Great. I get a dead primate, and she gets a carnage animunculus.
He looks and goes, well, sanitary sometimes is beneficial. And she turns back around very sassy.
Come on, Chuckles, let's continue. I'm naming my dead monkey Chuckles.
Dead monkey Chuckles.
Dr. Chuckles.
Ooh. Professor Chuckles.
Professor, I was about to say, Professor is even better.
Professor Chuckles.
Yes.
Oh, that's going to drive E crazy. If you name your monkey Professor Chuckles, she's going to start going on a rant about how, you know.
He's uncertified?
Yeah.
I know. That's the plan.
You want to see the documentation in which that they're a professor, because that's not fair.
Professor Chuckles pulls out a degree in
Oh, shit. He's fucking serious.
Yeah, from Primate A&M.
He is just so mad. She's just fuming. Like, if her whole body personified an emotion, it would just be sheer anger. And so you just see this teeny-tiny pixie with her arms crossed, with like her face is beet red, with just this look, and then like the chainsaw behind her just revving.
No, the construct is mirroring E, and so like she's got her little arms crossed, and it's got its giant chainsaw arms crossed.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. I didn't think about putting arms on it, but now I do. Okay, is it got arms now? Little
it's
tiny
got
arms.
Arms. Now. The little T-Rex arms. No baby arms.
I mean, long ones. You know that they can cross over, but you know, just little wimpy ones.
That is so funny.
Oh, man.
Okay, so, Jordan, I did send you the stats on what I have here for a chainsaw. Just real quick, whenever you do a melee attack, it does 3d6 slashing damage.
Oh, my God.
Sweet. I like this chainsaw.
Yeah, and I'll say because it is nimble, it does move around. You can add your dexterity modifier to it.
Hey, I'm so excited.
All right, so we're heading into Area 5. Let me see. You are heading into... Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
The kid zone.
Oh, no.
I thought it was going to be something fun.
Is there hand sanitizer? Because it is a children's zone.
You know what? Yes, I'll give it to you.
Wait, is there actually hand sanitizer? Or is it another empty one again?
It's a big empty box.
You have to find out.
It's got one left for you. One pump left.
One pump.
And that's it.
I'm just going to bathe in it. I'm not even going to use it on my hands. I'm just going to put my whole body in it.
Just like totally flash dance style. You pulled a little thing, it just blots on you.
Like, does the hair flip out of the water?
And everybody's like, where'd that chair come from? Okay, so you see colorful murals of kids playing games and having fun, covering the entire walls, various painted phrases. I never want to leave. At Happy Jack's, why go home? The best fun in all of Barovia. Can I be a clown when I grow up? Let's stay forever. So you see a ball pit. A 5-foot wide path surrounds a large pit filled with blue, yellow, green, and red balls the size of apples. A soft boom is heard, originating from under the balls. Then something moves, causing the balls to shuffle about. You see a fun slide, a multicolored slide built for racing, leads down into the darkness. A red lane with the word ketchup painted in big block letters with a childish hands on the far left, with a yellow mustard lane in the middle, and of course green relish to the right. And lastly, you see this medium-sized mascot suit of Jack, complete with clown shoes, foam hands, and a massive papier-mâché sculpt of Jack's smiling head on display in this room.
So is there something I could destroy in here?
Possibly.
Does anyone want any of this stuff?
I'm going to check out that mascot outfit because I'm seriously getting like Hitman vibes right now.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. What are you checking out?
Like, can I actually put it on?
You can.
I'm going to check it for traps just in case.
All right, check for traps. Go ahead and roll it.
Yep. That is a 16.
With a 16, your DM is being maniacal and there are no traps whatsoever.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Your DM is being maniacal.
But there are no traps. It's just a you know what? I'll tell you what. With that check too, I am going to say that you can disguise yourself as one of Jack's employees with it. It also scares adults and delights most children.
Put it on. Yes.
Oh, no.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Crown of Madness. Hold on.
Oh, no. What have you done?
Doesn't matter. I'm already there.
And you thought you were making me crazy.
Okay, so let me see here. Just some things about the mask here, or the costume. If a creature suffered from the effects of a phantasmal force spell in one of the previous areas, you got to make a DC wisdom saving throw. On a failure, you suffer from short-term madness for 1d10 minutes. If you have suffered from the effects of Crown of Madness from a previous area, wow, this place is fun. You have to do a wisdom saving throw. Otherwise, you're compelled to attack the costume for 1d4 minutes. I mean, it has effects if you've suffered from one of the previous effects before, but beyond that, nope. You can disguise yourself as an employee and you can scare adults and delight most children. Not all children, just most children.
Mm-hmm. So would Crown of Madness technically count as a charm spell?
Yeah, but you didn't have Crown of Madness put on you from before.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you suffered these effects from previous areas,
gotcha,
then this costume will affect you in a different way. That's pretty clever, actually.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's see. CD, give me a perception check.
Five.
With a 5, you're not sure what it is, and you just say screw it, and you start snooping around the ball pit. And you notice like a snorting kind of a sound.
She pulls out her rapier and goes to start stabbing, and like she's looking for the sound to see what it is, and it sounds like a pig, so she wants to stab it and eat it.
Okay, when you do, and all of a sudden the balls begin to explode.
She jumps back.
All right, roll a dexterity save throw.
18.
With an 18, you're able to dive right out of there as this pig comes flying out and just goes apeshit, starts running around everywhere like crazy.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you can determine that this is actually from a petting zoo from another area deeper in, and it goes down the slide.
CD follows.
I'm still holding the rapier up to stab it. Oh my goodness. Whee!
Okay, so then E and Aranis, you see CD heading down the kid slide.
Hang on, which one does she go down? Ketchup, mustard, or relish?
Kitty, ketchup, mustard, or relish?
Mustard. Duh.
He will follow. But she's gonna like, yes, but before I do anything, I would like to take my sleeve and rub off whatever grime might be exactly where I'm going to sit. And then once I've done that, I will allow myself to go down the slide and be very careful not to touch anything with my hands that do not have gloves on them.
There are streaks of blood from when CD went down because she's covered in blood.
So what she does is like she pulls out a wet wipe and then lays it flat and then sits on the wet wipe before she goes down.
Absolutely. That is exactly what I do.
All right, so then that happens. And Aranis, what are you doing?
Since I am wearing the employee costume, I'm going to see if there's an employee exit.
Let's find out if there is. So you're splitting the party?
You know what? No. No. We only have 10 minutes. I'm going to go down.
He has left you a baby wipe as well.
All right. Okay, so then E goes down with chainsaw in tow, and Aranis, you're about to head down, and all of a sudden you hear in the back, "You there! This way! Come on!" And you see this person wave you over through an employee door.
Oh, well, come on, Professor Chuckles. Let's find the different road.
Okay, moving forward. There's a lower fun slide area where everybody comes out of. You notice that there are vortex generators right when you come out of the slide area. Okay, so E, roll me a history check.
Okie dokie. Oh my gracious. Do you do nat fails? Because I rolled a one. Or do you want me to add to it?
Sorry, you're not coming through. Can you roll again? I didn't hear you.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. So I got a one.
I didn't hear you. Can you roll again, please?
Yeah, we got some bad audio
going. Bad audio. Just total bad audio.
That's right.
Bad audio.
Just roll again.
LOL. Yeah, so I got, this time I got definitely a 17.
Oh, 17? Yeah, you passed.
17. Yeah, I got the 17 the whole time. There was
you're fine.
I don't even know. Yeah, I went crazy there for a second. Whole another plane of existence.
You know what the best part is? The bad audios are not edited out in any of our episodes. It's beautiful.
Legitimately, I always take it seriously. I never understand what you're trying to get me to understand, and that's just a jerk. I did it last time too.
So you should know, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. I should.
This is why she's not the rogue.
Or is she? Oh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Plot twist.
Yeah.
Nobody panic.
And it turns out I'm the pixie.
What? My whole life is a lie.
Mine too, apparently.
Oh, wow. My rib. My rib, ow, stop. Okay. So what you can tell, Eve, is that with a 17, you know that there's some vortex generators nearby. You know that these are probably what's helping power the entire funhouse. They can't be moved without being destroyed.
Okay.
If a generator is destroyed, it creates a ball of electricity. You know that it'll damage anything within a 20-foot radius.
Holy shit.
You know that destroying one generator sets off a chain reaction to any other generators nearby.
Damn.
And you know that... You know that blowing one of them will obliterate certain areas in six, and then certain areas that you're in right now in this seventh area. It'll tear a portal in the planar dimension that leads to deep Barovia. Yeah, it can cause some serious damage.
So I don't want to do that, is what I'm hearing.
It's up to you.
E is going to, in her normal fashion, start spewing all of this information to CD. So, in other words, I don't think we should hit the generators.
Okay.
But that's just my opinion.
So, having said that, CD, you know that you've been stuck down here for who knows how long. It feels like it could be anywhere from months to possibly years when you got separated from your other adventure party. So, but while you don't want to be stuck anywhere, you also want some payback with Happy Jack. You're looking for retribution with this guy who's had you stuck here for months, possibly years, in this funhouse.
Not that she knows how long she's been there. She's just, you know, a little senile, but active. What a way for a warrior to retire.
So do you want to destroy?
Sure.
Okay.
You just see E throw her hands back on her head and just go, "What are you doing?"
Okay, all right. Dueling chainsaws time.
Oh, shit.
Let's roll a d20 for both.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
And Jordan, wait, you're rolling two.
I rolled a 17 as well.
Oh.
What is this tomfoolery?
All right, roll again.
Oh my God.
Both of them are just at it back and forth, chainsaws clanking together. in like that.
Uh-oh. Oh, I rolled an 11.
19.
So with that, looks like CD takes the higher ground and obliterates all of the generators, causing a massive, massive rip through the fabric of space and time. And everybody is in deep Barovia. In deep Barovia, you see this Barovian time tree. The portal transports the both of you to a rolling prairie of dead grass. Dusk looms in this cold, dead area, and the smell of rotten decay dance on a cool breeze. In the distance, a tall tree blooming with pink flowers and yellow fruits grows on a hillside covered in lush green grass. A tall figure with fiery red hair laughs and claps as 8 children chase each other around the tree. While he's there, off in the distance, you see several of his staff in different outfits. Among them is the Happy Jack costume. E, you look around, you do not see CD. What do you want to do?
Well, I'm halfway between panic and be angry. So, but I see the children. Are they the children that I am looking? Are these the children I'm looking for?
Roll perception.
Do they match my detailed notes? Wow, that was a 1 again.
A 21 was that?
21. Yeah. That was a 21. That was a great number right there. It's just so good. Great roll.
I'll say this. You look at your notes of different names and descriptions, and yes, these are the kids.
She is going to raise her hands in the air and say, "Children!" Do they respond?
They all look up. Oh, look, a pixie. Is that part of the show?
Yeah, follow me. And she's like really awkwardly going to try to pretend to be like what the kids would think would be cool. And by that, she doesn't know what she's doing. She's not being cool at all. Not being smooth at all. But she's really trying to be. I don't know where I'm taking them. I don't even know how to get them back home. She realizes as she's walking.
As soon as you do that, you see Jack. He's playing with and entertaining the kids near the tree like a party clown. You know, he blows balloons, throws pies, performs magic tricks, speaks in wacky voices. Hey, kids, you know, just the whole nines. As soon as you start speaking up, he drops the happy act. Then all of a sudden, he's like playing up like the sinister kind of atmosphere. All the happy-go-lucky little sprightly things are going on. All that immediately drops. And he's like in this very deep gothic atmosphere now. The kids stop laughing. The tree dims in hue. And then his sharp teeth grow out as he slowly turns towards you.
Oh, heck no, he yells. panic. That's the first. And then the second. Am I fine? What? Why? She's literally going to be like, why? Why? Why?
He's Why? Looking at you, and just with his deep, grueling voice, he's like, I want to keep the kids safe.
Well, you can keep the kids safe in safe place, which is not here.
It is directly here. Children are fun. They don't know what horrors lie in adulthood. I made the children better. Now they will never grow old. Now they will never escape the world.
That's not science! Like, Ethel's, like, sitting over here trying to, like, how do I explain that that doesn't work? But, like, okay, but think about it this way. You want to protect the children, which I think is great, but what about the children, you know, they have parents who want to do the same thing. We could work on an after-school program. You could make snacks. I mean, you got a lot of potential here, but not here.
And he goes, speaking of snacks, and he grabs one of the kids, and you see his mouth begin to quickly open up, and the kids start screaming and yelling.
Heck no. Chainsaw, attack!
All right, roll initiative.
I'm not about this right now. That's an 18. This is not safe. He is screaming. This is not what I asked for.
Okay, E got an 18. and Happy Jack rolled a 14.
Yeah, take that.
And let's see, Aranis, you're currently one of the employees back there. Go ahead and roll initiative too.
Yeah, and I can see all this happening, right?
Yeah, you're in costume, you're seeing this happen.
Oh my god, if this works out the way I hope it does, this is going to be the coolest ending ever.
What'd you roll for initiative?
25.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
Every time.
All right, first up is Aranis.
All right, and so I'm assuming that because I'm in costume, I'm automatically in stealth mode.
Yes, that's correct.
Yes. So I'm just going to, you know, act like I'm one of this clown's cronies, and I'm going to draw one of my daggers, and I'm just going to inch closer to the scene like I'm coming in for backup.
Okay, so you're inching closer?
Yep, I'm getting closer.
Okay, so because it's only 6 seconds, you're able to inch only 9 inches. And okay, E, go ahead.
Oh, really? We're doing that. Fine.
Well, you're inching, dude. You're not moving all this. You just said I'm inching.
Denied. So hold on. Can I slashy slashy with the chainsaw? Can I?
You can certainly tell the chainsaw what to do. Absolutely.
I would love for this chainsaw that E is about to get really grotesque. Wait, is this show family friendly?
No.
Okay, good. I'd like to behead the clown.
Roll for attack.
That is okay. The most mild, not kid friendly thing on our show to date.
I rolled a 5.
25? I heard 25.
25.
Yeah.
25.
500. 25.
500.
Okay, roll for damage and multiply it by 1,000.
Okay, if you insist, you bet your chicken nuggets. Wait, it's D6s, right?
Yes, 3D6, is it?
Okay, well, it's a good thing I got that 1,000 modifier, because it's like 5,000 now.
Well, too bad he has 10,000. No, I'm just kidding. So. All right, so describe how this chainsaw is attacking.
So what's important to note is while E is feeling very aggressive, she's also still abiding by the laws of nature. And so she's dictating to this clown how this clown is going to be beheaded, because there's a very scientific way to behead someone to where you make it all the way through in one go. And so she's explaining which vertebrae that it needs to go through, and the fact that he might feel, you know, lightheaded or headless at some point, and like all the side effects of being beheaded. And this chainsaw goes and like almost hesitates, like it's listening to E, like trying to get the exact angle, and then just goes for it. Like, heads off, rolling down the side, the poor child's traumatized, which Jordan feels really bad for the child. But that's how we behead that clown. E would like to, she's found a new part of herself that she doesn't quite understand. She's gonna go pick up the head and like hold it up like a trophy, but she's not big enough to lift it off the ground. So you just see her like grabbing it by the hair, like, rah!
All right, so I'll say this is what happens. As you're describing everything, the chainsaw, everything goes in slow motion. The chainsaw goes flying toward Happy Jack's neck, and so the kid drops into his mouth. But then what ends up happening is the chainsaw cuts through, the kid falls through the head onto the floor.
Poor kid.
The head goes rolling, the chainsaw goes, keeps flying straight, and then at that same time, though, that was your chainsaw's move, so that's like your familiar, so now you have a turn. And right now what you're seeing is the body is feeling around for its head as you're holding it.
It's not dead yet!
Not yet.
He's gonna look at it and go, that is not science! Stop it. And what do I want to do? I have a whole action.
Yeah, a whole action. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I would love to cast Entangle, but I have to look it up to figure out exactly what that does, because I know, but I don't know. Where are you? Okay, I would like to cast Entangle. So grasping weeds.
and vines sprout from the ground in a 20-foot square, starting from a point within range. For the duration, these plants turn the ground in the area into difficult terrain. A creature in the area when you cast the spell must succeed on a strength saving throw or be restrained by the entangling plants until the spell ends.
Okay, and the body rolls a 9.
Oh, crap. I don't even know what my DC is. That's like...
Your isn't spell...
Isn't it like 10 plus your spellcasting?
Spellcasting, yeah, proficiency, all that. Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, if you got a 9, you automatically win if it's a 10. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I win. So you're trapped. You can use your action to make a strength test against it again on a success. You free yourself.
Okay.
But if not, you're mine.
And this time it rolled a 1.
Oh. He's like laughing at the body.
And with that, I don't know if y'all ever seen Creepshow, where the dude has that alien plant grow all over him. And that's what happens here. The body now becomes fertilizer for the entanglement, and it's to a point where it just stops moving. And lastly, Aranis, you have one more free action before it.
One more free action. I'm going to, you know, since we're being specific on inchings and whatnot, I'm just going to go all out, and I'm going to do that, you know, gymnastic flippy stuff to the action and take that knife of mine, and I'm going to plunge it into the body.
All right, so with that, we see as soon as you kill Jack and his body and his head. Wait a minute, do you keep the head or what are you doing with it?
I just needed to have a moment with the head. I'll probably leave the head. That's I don't have the proper formaldehyde to keep it. So I'll leave it.
All right, so you do that and... everything starts to crumble, like the area around you. A vortex opens up next to the tree. What do y'all want to do?
Well, if everything is crumbling, my best guess is to get the hell out of here.
My gut is jump to the vortex. Wait. Vortex is bad. Jordan's like, I'm jumping in the thing.
Doesn't matter. We're 15 minutes over time.
Just jump in the vortex.
I use my clown costume's abilities to lead the kids like sheep into the vortex, and then we all jump in.
Okay, so then E's just kind of floating there, fluttering in you know, in space, like, should I get in there, should I not? As Aranis just grabs her by the back of her collar.
Just flings.
Just pinches by the back of her collar, like, let's go, let's go. You come out the other end, and you're standing in front of the funhouse entrance. Everything starts to crumble. Everything starts to, break apart. That old hag in the front, she's like, what did you do? What did you do? And she immediately begins to age in front of you, just like the Raiders of the Lost. Or no, was it Indiana Jones in the Last Crusade?
Yeah!
And come to find out that was Reaver. That was the one that had Jack in her grasp, like psychically grasp. And the only thing left is that organ box that she had.
That's crazy.
The kids see their parents right there at the square, and they all, of course, run back to their parents. Thank you so much. They toss the chain, the money at you. Y'all are town heroes. And
I'm handing out my babysitting business cards.
Yep. And wait, what about Professor Chuckles?
He's your little clown dude.
Hell yeah.
And so then finally the last thing, everything just crumbles into nothingness. Out comes that were-hippo,
mm-hmm.
and the pig and all sorts of other fun characters that y'all missed out on, but they're all there. And the only thing left standing is that organ grinder. What do y'all want to do?
That's the box that the tentacles came out of, right?
Correct.
I want to kick it.
All right, give me an athletics check.
Okay. That is not going to be great because I'm not good at... Oh, no, I am. I am good at that. Oh, my gosh, it's a 14.
Damn. Okay, with a 14, you kick over the organ grinder, and you notice on the bottom it says Evard's Black Tentacles, and it says cost is 1d10 years. Per use.
With a 14, though, you jolted it enough to where that last bit is now broken off of it, and so you can use it at will three times a day to cast Ivar's Black Tentacles.
Sweet!
Yeah, so that's why you saw this old lady age right in front of you, because she casted it, and then it'll cost her 20 years of her life.
Wow. What a treasure.
But with that 14, you just kicked that part of it out.
E starts laughing maniacally.
And congratulations, you just survived at Happy Jack's Funhouse.
We did it! I actually really liked that little adventure. I'm not usually one for scary clowns.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not scared of clowns, but like, I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I said, this has a ton of content in here. We obviously had to put stuff on rails, but I mean, imagining sitting through this.
Yeah, I mean, it's 62 pages. That's
Yeah.
You can have a lot of fun with that.
You really could. You really
could.
Plus,
with the added thought of that form that you fill out and you use against your players, that's just so creative.
Yeah,
for sure. Man, good job, everybody. Great job.
We did it.
Oh, man. Yeah, thank you so much, Jordan, for hanging out with us for a little bit.
Thanks for letting me. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's always a joy to have you on here.
I have so much fun.
Oh, yes.
Yes. No, seriously, we definitely should have you play four different characters. We'll do it.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so ready.
Awesome. Good deal. All right. Well, Jordan, again, thanks so much for hanging out with us for a little bit, and always a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me and letting me goof off.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much. And love your work on, you know, the entertainment side, but also, you know, your day job as well, or night job, you know.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for doing that for the world.
Oh, that's very sweet.
All right, okay, on that note, let's go ahead and end it.
Yeah.
Good high note there. All righty, thank you so much. And yeah, have a good rest of the day.
I'm going to go nap.
All righty. Hey, take care.
Bye.
All right, until next time.